This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Honesty check now. Hands up. How many of us were driving today and while we were on the road, stopped somewhere to peek at a text message or an email, maybe even answer a text message or an email? Well, we have certainly heard countless warnings about the dangers of driving while distracted by a cell phone. So why is it virtually impossible to resist the call of that little smartphone nestled in the cup holder next to you as you drive? NPR reporter Sonari Glinton got to wondering the very same thing as he logged so many miles driving around the Midwest covering the presidential election and catching himself peeking at his phone even though he knew better. Sonari joins us today along with someone who may have some insight into why we cave in to the temptation to let those phones distract us behind the wheel. Dr. Paul Green, who is with the Driver Interface Group at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute. Welcome to both of you.
It's good to be here.
Oh, so, Sonari, we know texting and driving is against the law in 39 states, plus the District of Columbia and some other territories.
Guam.
And yet, there you were.
Yeah, you know, I think part of it is as our culture and in our jobs, we want to be responsive. Like, we want to, you know, you want to respond to your boss. You want to respond to your coworkers. You don't want to leave people hanging. So there is this desire to kind of stay connected, you know, like, oh, I'm away for 30 minutes, 40 minutes. What's building up in my inbox? What's going on? I mean, the thing is, I'm a grown up. And when I hear texting, people talk about texting, I'm like, I don't answer texts. I would never answer a text, but I might, you know, read an email from Ari Shapiro, which is like equally ridiculous for me to do. And I think because we want to be responsive to the people in our lives.
I think you've captured it very, very well, that there's this pressure to do more and to do it faster and to do it better. And there's this perception that driving is wasted time. And so, therefore, let's do something in addition to driving. Unfortunately, you've spoken already about some of the consequences.
But even more than that, isn't that the fact that these phones have become, I think, for most of us, an attachment of our bodies? We have all heard people in public restrooms chatting away because they couldn't go into the stall without carrying that. You leave the house, you think, I don't have my phone. I have to go back. Isn't it almost a sense that we see this as just an extension of us? Are we looking at our phones differently than our parents did?
I'd say the answer is yes. And you go, for example, to a place, I can remember a family event where there were some younger folks there. And we had a break between activities and they were all on their phones, either texting somebody, emailing somebody, or playing some kind of game on the phone. There's this just sense that it's idle time, I have to do something.
Now but the thing is, there's one thing when you're, say, in a public bathroom,
yes,
or when you're with your family, you're not hurtling 60 miles an
right
hour down the expressway.
Right, right. But then you're taking that extension and you're not seeing that as a distraction. It's just me getting in touch with my daughter or me getting in touch with the boss.
Yeah.
What distraction? And I will ask you to fess up because you did tweet the day after your story ran on NPR. Tell us what you tweeted.
Well, I'd stopped off to get coffee and a few pieces of salami at the gourmet shop. And my story had aired on Sunday. It's a Monday morning. I'm rolling into the stop sign. I go pick up my cell phone. I look, and it was an email from a professor from Massachusetts saying that he had heard my story about distracted driving.
And there you were.
And there I was reading my email about distracted. It was just like, what world am I living? Like, what am I doing? I threw the phone to the side and I didn't answer. I mean, I stopped and I realized how ridiculous that is.
Well, Dr. Green, I know you study driver behavior. Can you tell me, I think I am in this group. Are there those of us who kind of play games with ourselves like, okay, I'm not going to text while I'm driving, but I might peek at an email or a text message while I'm stopped at a light? That's not distracted driving, or so we think. Is that a game of self-delusion?
I'd say the answer is yes. So Sonari made the point that, okay, he stopped at the light, but he doesn't know what he missed. And there could be a pedestrian coming, or there could be some other activity that immediately after the light changes he needs to know about. But because he's been focused on his cell phone, on some message or information, that he doesn't know what he missed. And that's the problem.
Boy, and as you say that, I remember when my daughter was taking driver's ed, the teacher called the intersection the kill zone.
Yes.
Which kind of made me go, wow. But you're right, because you are Even if you're stopped with your foot on the brake, you're disengaged while you're looking down, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you about something that I will say, because I'm on the road a lot, here's something I'll do. Text my daughter Siobhan's cell phone. So I'm using Siri, and I'll dictate the thing and send it off.
What do you want to say to Siobhan and Canty?
Way to go, period. Is using a Siri, a something voice-activated like that, okay, or do I need to quit? Seriously.
Okay. The research sometimes is on using voice interfaces is mixed.
Okay.
But it was interesting to watch you just a moment ago perform that interaction. There were a few things I noticed.
Yeah.
The first is you had to hold the phone in your hand. So if you were driving, you would have one hand on the wheel, not two, which is generally not a good situation.
Okay, true.
The second is, as you spoke, you cast your eyes to the ceiling to collect your thoughts about what you wanted to say. If you had been driving, I wonder if you would have been looking at the road at all.
Okay.
And those glances were not just brief glances away. They were long glances, which are particularly risky because that's when things that are bad happen.
Especially if I'm on I-96.
Yes.
So, Sonari, why is it, do you think, we can roundly condemn someone who has a few beers or glasses of wine or cocktails and gets behind the wheel of a car, but we indulge with phone fiddling?
Well, you know, we haven't gotten to that point where we sort of culturally said this is wrong. I mean, I remember as a kid in the 80s, I led my family to put on their seatbelts. I was a kid and I'd seen some horrible TV show, and then it became a thing. It became my own little personal campaign, and we were a little bit ahead of the curve. But as my family was wearing seatbelts, the whole sort of laws changed, the way people thought about it. They got, you know, it became illegal not to have your seatbelt on. And so people didn't want to be scofflaws, and the whole sort of culture sort of shifted. Same thing with drinking and driving. It's not just laws. It is culturally. Like, we say to each other, if you see a friend, if you're having a dinner party and your friend is overserved, I mean, like, A, you're personally liable, but there is a more cultural thing behind it. I'm like, I'm not going to let me call you a cab, or, you know. It is a cultural thing. We have decided. Now, if I say, oh, I was texting, everyone's like, man, that's funny. Oh, yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like we haven't gotten to that point in our culture where we say this is dangerous. Mm-hmm. This is a bad thing to do. I should not be doing it, and neither should you.
What is behind the mindset of a driver that will look over and see someone texting or scrolling through the cell phone and just think, well, how could they do that? And then at the light, you're kind of looking yourself. There's almost this, it's his problem, but I can handle it. Is a little self-delusion there?
Yeah, there is. There's this impression among many people that, okay, I'm a better than average driver, but how can most people be better than average? It just defies the laws of statistics.
Yeah, I am. You're not the idiot. I'm the idiot. It's not
the fault
is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. Like, I'm the idiot. And you think that I can handle texting and driving better than somebody else. You're like, oh, I can do it. That teenage girl, the 38-year-old man goes, that teenage girl, she's a danger. But me, I'm not a danger. I've been driving for 20 years.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but chances are I don't know what I'm doing.
We're talking about why we keep talking on our cell phones, checking emails and texting while we drive, even though we know we shouldn't. Sonari Glinton reported on the issue for NPR. And Paul Green is with us. He's a researcher who studies distracted driving. So what do you think it says about us as a society that we have put such an inordinate amount of emphasis on staying in touch and using that smartphone, even as we're driving along at 70 miles an hour on the freeway?
Well, I think we're just all under pressure to produce more in less time and to produce it better and faster. We've heard that message time and time again. You know, we're competing against the rest of the world. So therefore, any moment that we think is idle, that something else can be done, well, let's see what else we can cram in that time period.
Yeah, the idea that I'm going to be productive every single moment of every day. And one of the things that I don't think that people realize is sometimes being productive means not doing something. Like, sometimes the best thing you can do is just take 5 minutes and don't talk to anybody. Don't listen to the radio. Just Well, what did I just say? just go down the highway and pay attention to your surroundings. I've written whole stories on the road. I have come up with whole ideas that there is something vitally productive about quiet, alone time. And it used to be that your car was an oasis. Mm-hmm. It used to be that it was a way to get away if you wanted to. You know, if you're mad with your parents or your girlfriend or whatever, you can get in your car and drive away. Now you're still tethered.
It's the rolling office.
And I hate to be a Luddite, but I think that there is something beautiful about driving a car and about being alone in your car. And I think we need to get a little bit of that back.
Right. And you might hear people say something like, I just need time to think. And that's what you're referring to.
Yeah. But somehow we in 2012 are unable to give ourselves permission to do that.
Yes. And I think there's another piece to it, which actually there's some research to support. And that is if you're constantly tethered to your text messages and your email messages, your productivity actually suffers. And the reason is because you're engaged in some task and you get interrupted by that text message or email message that you feel you must instantly respond to, in which case you do. But then you say, now, where was I in writing this piece for this NPR story or something else? And it takes time to recover where you were. So, in fact, sometimes the important work is disrupted by that extraneous email message or text message.
So how about some personal resolutions? I know, Sonari, you have instituted some.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of it is as a way to keep ourselves from texting and driving, I think it would be sort of silly to say, oh, I'm just going to throw my phone in the trunk and I'm not going to look at it. I mean, you could do that and that would make it easy, but I don't know if a lot of people do that. So I think there are some steps you can take to sort of keep yourself from the temptation. One of the things is reenacting an old school thing, which is call your friends and family before you leave work. Say, you know, honey, I'm on my way home. Mm-hmm. Should I stop at the grocery store? What's going on? What should I know? So that A, the person you're talking to knows that you're going to be on the road and that person will not call you. So then you don't feel like you have to respond.
Okay.
So if your husband knows that you're in the car, if your daughter knows you're in the car, then who else is important? Bosses and people who are in charge need to understand that, you know, when you send a reporter or you send a salesperson or whatever, that they're going to be on the road. So don't make email your primary communication. I've tried to let the people at work know, hey, my editors, my producers, look, I'm going to be on the road for 30 minutes. I'm going to be on the road for 2.5 hours. If it's really super important, you can call me.
Yeah.
I have the Bluetooth thing. It's not the best, but it's much better than the trifecta of dangers.
Is that true?
It's a little bit better.
You winced when he said it.
Yeah, it's a little bit better because there's not the manual activity handling the phone. So you're going to be safer that way, but there's still a lot of debate as to whether it's safe or not. There's another strategy that one might use, which is that when you call somebody, if you're calling them on a cell phone, you usually know that. And sometimes you can tell, like, oh, I think this sounds like they're driving. And you can simply say, are you driving now? And then you can say, well, my practice is not to distract people. I'm sorry I have to end this conversation. When can I call you back?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Can you give me a call when you're at rest, when you're someplace?
So it takes two. We can all on either side of the conversation.
That's right. So you can, if you believe it's a bad idea, you simply say, I really don't want to talk to you while you're driving. I don't want to be responsible potentially for you getting into a crash.
I just want to point out that Cynthia's cell phone went off. Then as you were saying that, if I were a producer, that is beautiful. Exactly.
So and I'm listening, but I had to say, boy, oh boy, lots and lots to think about. Sonari, thank you. And Dr. Green, thank you so much for talking with us and sharing insights today on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sonari Glinton is an NPR reporter, and Paul Green is with the Driver Interface Group at the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute.